Imagine this. You are working on this like massive project. You drag a single finished image file into your software window, and
Oh,
instantly,
this is my favorite part.
right, instantly, this massive, wildly complex 3-hour visual effects pipeline just automatically builds itself right before your eyes.
Yeah.
Every node, every route, every custom filter is just instantly there and ready to use.
This sounds totally fake.
Exactly. It
Yeah.
sounds like a magic trick.
Yeah.
But that is just how the open source AI ecosystem actually functions right now in 2026.
Yeah, it's a completely different paradigm. I mean, we aren't just typing prompts and hoping for the best anymore. We are engineering entire visual architectures now.
Right. Well, welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are taking a massive stack of insights curated from the April 11th edition of the Art Daily newsletter.
A very dense issue, by the way.
Incredibly dense. Because the sheer volume of AI creative tools right now, it's just staggering.
It really is.
So our mission today is to cut through the marketing hype, look right past those shiny spec sheets, and help you figure out exactly where you should be spending your subscription budget.
Because those budgets are getting tight.
Very tight.
Yeah.
So whether you are onboarding clients, advising a creative team, or, just trying to get your own work out the door faster, we are looking at which of these tools actually survive contact with real heavy creative workloads.
Yeah, the real world tests.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, let's unpack this, because navigating the 2026 AI tool landscape right now is honestly like walking into a massive big box hardware store where absolutely none of the aisles are labeled.
That is the perfect way to put it.
You know you need a drill, but there are like 400 of them, and they all claim to be the quote-unquote ultimate professional choice.
Naturally.
And you just want to know which one will actually drive the screw into the wall without breaking under pressure. So we are here to help you find the exact tool for your specific job.
Yeah, that hardware store analogy, it perfectly captures the anxiety of the modern creative director.
Oh, for sure.
Because what we are witnessing right now is a massive tectonic shift. We've officially moved from AI being this isolated kind of experimental novelty.
Right, the fun toy phase.
Exactly, the toy phase is over. It is now deeply embedded in practical daily production pipelines. It's no longer just about the what.
Like, what can it do in a vacuum?
Right. Nobody cares about that anymore. It's all about the how. Like, how does this tool connect to my existing software?
Yeah.
How does it handle a client asking for tiny specific revision?
Which they always do.
Always. Can it produce consistent results at scale without, hallucinating entirely new geometry? The tools that actually survive 2026 are the ones that answer those functional, structural questions.
And to figure out which ones actually answer those questions, we have to look at the extremes.
Okay.
On one end, you have the desire for instant perfection, and on the other, the demand for absolute granular control.
Right, the classic trade-off.
Yeah. So let's look at the instant perfection side first. According to a recent massive graphic designer survey from Tools.design,
Great survey, by the way.
really insightful, they found that Midjourney is still sitting firmly on the throne as the undisputed winner for mood boards, art direction, and early visual concepting.
Unsurprising.
Yeah, and the main reason, the outputs just require significantly less cleanup before you can actually show them to a client. It is all about speed to polished result.
Well, speed is the ultimate currency in agency environments, right?
Definitely.
When you have a client pitch in 3 hours, you simply do not have the luxury of fiddling with the physics of lighting in a complex 3D render.
No, you need it now.
You need a striking concept image, and you need it right this second. Midjourney has fundamentally optimized for aesthetics.
Yeah, it always just looks good.
Right. It has this built-in, deep mathematical understanding of composition and color theory. It acts as a safety net for the user. It basically biases towards looking good, even if your prompt is terrible.
Yeah, but that safety net becomes a cage the second you hit the revision phase.
No, absolutely.
Because we've all been there, right? You've spent 2 hours generating the perfect moody lifestyle shot for a campaign. You send it off.
And then the email comes back.
The dreaded email. They say, "We love it, but can you turn the model's head exactly 15 degrees to the left so it better highlights our logo?"
Good luck with that.
Right. In Midjourney, you're suddenly dead in the water. You can't
Yep.
just reach in and rotate the head.
No, you basically have to re-roll, adjust some prompt weights, and just, pray the AI gives you the same vibe back. Yeah.
Exactly. You are entirely at the mercy of the model's latent space.
Which is terrifying when you have a deadline.
It really is. But here's where it gets really interesting. Because on the flip side of that cage, you have Stability AI, and they are heavily doubling down on SDXL Turbo and Stable Diffusion XL.
Yeah, they're playing a totally different game.
SDXL Turbo is getting a staggering amount of attention right now. It uses this architecture called adversarial diffusion distillation.
Which is a mouthful.
A total mouthful. But without getting completely lost in the math, basically, instead of the AI having to take 50 tiny iterative steps to slowly clear up the static and form an image, it predicts the final clear image in just 1 to 4 steps.
It's incredibly fast.
It requires incredibly short prompts, it delivers stronger compositions, and it remains the absolute backbone of the massive open source ecosystem.
Yes.
To use an analogy here, Midjourney is like dining at a Michelin star restaurant.
Okay, I like this.
You know, you are going to get an absolutely beautiful, breathtaking plate of food set in front of you. But the chef decides exactly how it's cooked.
Right. You just eat what you're served.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can't just walk into the kitchen and change the seasoning.
Yeah.
Whereas SDXL is like buying a fully stocked commercial kitchen.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You have to do the cooking yourself.
Yeah.
And the first few meals might be a total disaster. But you control absolutely every single ingredient down to the gram.
What's fascinating here is how this fundamental divide shapes everything else downstream.
How do you mean?
Well, Jim McLeod wrote a phenomenal piece on Medium recently. It's a real deep dive that honestly compares these fast-improving models under actual grueling creative workloads.
Oh, I read that. It was great.
Right. And his piece is crucial, especially for professionals who are in the position of advising other artists or building out agency infrastructure.
Because it's not just a software choice, is it?
No. Choosing between a closed system like Midjourney and an open system like Stable Diffusion fundamentally alters a creator's entire workflow.
Yeah, it changes everything.
With a closed system, you are managing subscriptions. You are at the mercy of their server uptime.
Which goes down right when you need it.
Always. And if there are underlying aesthetic updates overnight, which we've definitely seen happen, your entire visual style changes without your permission.
That is a nightmare for brand consistency.
Exactly. But with an open system, you are managing your own hardware, or at least your own cloud compute costs, and you are taking on the considerable technical debt of maintaining that kitchen, to use your analogy.
It's a massive trade-off. And we are seeing major industry players actually acknowledge this reality.
Yeah, for sure.
Like Figma. In their resource library write-up, they explicitly praise Stable Diffusion's flexibility over the closed models.
Right. They highlighted the guidance scale, didn't they?
They did. They point out that features like the adjustable guidance scale, which is a huge deal for designers, give UI and brand creators far more creative control than closed tools ever will.
Yeah. That adjustable guidance scale Figma mentions, technically known as classifier-free guidance or CFG.
Right.
It's a perfect example of the why behind this open source shift. It's essentially a mathematical slider that dictates how strictly the AI must adhere to your text prompt versus how much creative liberty it's allowed to take based on its training data.
So it's basically a slider for how much the AI listens to you.
Exactly. In a closed tool, the AI often quietly overrules the user to ensure the image looks pretty. It assumes it knows better than you.
Which is so frustrating.
It is. But in a UI design workflow, if you need a specific vector style icon with like sharp geometric edges, you need the AI to follow your prompt exactly.
You don't want it adding random brushstrokes.
Right. You turn that CFG dial way up to say, no, follow my instructions to the letter. Do not add your own painterly flair.
That makes total sense. You need a hammer, not a paintbrush.
Precisely.
And Zapier, in their recent roundup, highlights platforms like Night Cafe and OpenArt precisely because they offer massive model variety.
Which is so important now.
Yeah. It allows you to get away from those mainstream generic AI looks. But if you look at the Stable Diffusion community thread on Reddit, you see how incredibly specific this gets.
Oh, the community goes so deep.
They really do. Creators aren't even touching the base models anymore. They are relying on deeply fine-tuned community favorites.
Yeah, they have a model for everything.
We were talking models like Juggernaut XL for hyper-photorealism, or Animagine XL V3, or Mistune Anime for incredibly specific client use cases.
Right.
And then you have JotForm's recent roundup, putting a massive spotlight on Tensor.art.
Oh, yes. Tensor.art is huge.
They describe it as this serious, quiet powerhouse for actually training your own custom image and video models on your own proprietary images, which sounds great on paper, but I have to push back here.
Oh, please do.
If I'm a busy designer or an art director running a team of 5 at an agency, do I really have the time to go hunt down these ultra-niche models like Mistune Anime?
I see where you're going with this.
Or spend hours training my own specific model on Tensor.art. Doesn't all this endless variety, this tweaking of CFG scales and downloading custom weights, actually become a massive distraction from getting real billable work done?
It's a very fair question.
It just feels like we're spending 40 hours building the perfect tool just to do a two-hour job.
Right. It's the most common trap of open source software, and it's a very valid concern. You can spend all day customizing your interface, tweaking your settings, and, you know, never actually generate a usable asset.
Exactly. Procrastination by customization.
Yes. But the reality of 2026 is that this variety is not a distraction. It is the necessary solution to real-world client demands.
Also,
think about it. Clients don't want generic AI art anymore. They can spot that glossy, slightly too perfect AI look from a mile away, and they are actively rejecting it.
Oh, totally. The AI sheen.
They want their specific brand identity.
Right. They want their actual mascot, not a generic cartoon dog that kind of looks like
Precisely. It. Precisely. Let's look at the underlying mechanism of what Tensor.art facilitates. Fine-tuning, specifically through things like LoRAs, or low-rank adaptations.
Okay.
Instead of retraining a massive multi-billion parameter model from scratch, a LoRa freezes the main model and just trains a tiny, lightweight mathematical layer on top of it.
It's like a patch.
Exactly. You feed it 20 images of a client's specific proprietary product. The AI learns the exact geometric relationships and textures of that specific product.
Oh, wow.
So if a client needs that product generated in 30 different lifestyle settings, a generic model will give you 30 slightly different incorrect products.
Which means endless Photoshop cleanup.
Right. But training a custom LoRAi on Tensor.art might take an afternoon of compute time up front, but it allows you to generate that exact product instantly, saving you weeks of manual revisions on the back end.
Okay, so you're front-loading the technical pain to build a bespoke pipeline.
Yes.
You're not just downloading a generic wrench. You're mathematically casting a custom wrench that perfectly fits the client-specific machine.
That is exactly it. And that infrastructure is what separates the hobbyists from the professionals right now.
I hear that.
Sure.
But let's be totally honest with you, the listener. Knowing that these specific models and this immense level of control exist is one thing.
Right.
Actually building the technical pipeline to use them, that is daunting.
It really is.
If you open up some of these open source node-based interfaces, it literally looks like the control panel for a nuclear submarine.
It's terrifying the first time you see it.
It's just wires and mathematical nodes everywhere.
Abby.
But thankfully, the community has stepped up big time to democratize this process. And that brings us to Comfy UI.
Yes. Comfy UI has fundamentally revolutionized how professional open source AI workflows are built and shared.
According to the Air Daily Roundup, the Comfy UI wiki now features this massive, rapidly growing community library of workflow examples.
And the cold mine.
And the standout feature, the thing I mentioned at the very top of the show that absolutely blew my mind, is how you load these workflows.
It's so cool.
You don't download a complicated project file. You literally drag and drop any example image directly into the Comfy UI interface.
Yeah.
And the software instantly loads the original creator's full complex node graph. It covers everything from Flux to SDXL to Stable Video Diffusion.
Mm-hmm.
I have to ask, how is an image file doing that?
It comes down to how PNG files are structured.
Okay.
When you generate an image in Comfy UI, the software doesn't just save the pixels. It takes the entire mathematical structure of your node graph, every single route, every custom weight, every model you used, and it writes it as a JSON data string hidden directly inside the text chunks of the PNG file's metadata.
That is insane.
Right. The image itself physically contains its own source code.
So what does this all mean? Imagine seeing a fully built, incredibly complex Lego castle.
Okay.
And instead of having to sit there for hours, squinting at it, guessing how the foundation was made, trying to reverse engineer the arches.
Yeah, which is what we used to have to do.
Right. You just show a picture of the castle to your living room table, and the massive instruction manual, along with all the perfectly sorted blocks, instantly manifest right in front of you, already clicked together.
It's basically magic.
That is exactly what dragging a PNG into Comfy UI does.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, this visual, shareable node graph system is the absolute fastest way artists can learn pipelines from one another.
It speeds up the learning curve so much.
Immensely. In the past, if you wanted to learn a complex visual effects pipeline in a traditional program, you had to watch a 3-hour YouTube tutorial. Meticulously pause the video and manually copy every single slider setting. Now, you are effectively crowdsourcing technical expertise instantly.
It's just drag and drop.
You grab an incredible image from a forum, drop it into your workspace, and immediately see, oh, I understand now. They routed this specific upscaler through this particular noise filter, and they applied this specific LoRa at exactly a 0.65 weight.
That's so powerful.
It's instant knowledge transfer.
It completely democratizes the technical side of the art. And for those who are wanting to set up their own local environment from scratch to run all this.
Because you do need good hardware.
Yeah, let's face it. You need a decent GPU to run Comfy UI locally without pulling your hair out.
True.
The newsletter points to the awesome Stable Diffusion GitHub repo. It's basically the ultimate actively maintained starting point that aggregates the best tools, notebooks, and custom nodes.
Which is critical. Running these models locally means you aren't paying cloud compute costs per generation.
Right.
And your proprietary client data isn't being sent to a third-party server. But the open source ecosystem moves so aggressively fast that a setup tutorial written 3 months ago is already entirely obsolete.
It changes weekly at this point.
It really does. Having an actively maintained, community-curated GitHub repository ensures you are building your local foundation on the actual current best practices, not outdated code.
So Comfy UI completely solves the static image pipeline.
Mm.
You drag, you drop, you have the artist's exact node graph.
Yep.
But what happens when you introduce the dimension of time?
Oh, boy.
Because Comfy UI's ability to handle things like Stable Video Diffusion brings us to the final and undoubtedly the most resource-heavy frontier of the 2026 landscape, AI video generation.
Yeah, this is where everything we just talked about gets exponentially harder.
I can imagine.
When you add the temporal dimension, the VRAM hardware demands and the workflow complexities truly skyrocket.
And it's also where the marketing hype is absolutely deafening.
It's so loud right now.
The Aired Daily Sources gave us two profoundly different ways to look at this space. First, we have a massive hands-on roundup from PC Mag.
A classic benchmark.
Right? Where they test the most powerful AI video generators in 2026. This acts as a crucial objective benchmark, right?
Sure.
They are looking at maximum resolution, frame rate consistency, raw processing speed, all the hard mathematical numbers that help you decide where to spend those massive subscription budgets.
It's all about the specs.
But then the newsletter highlights a vital counterpoint.
Mm-hmm.
A Reddit post from AI agents titled, One Creator's Top 4 AI Video Tools in 2026.
I loved this post.
It was so eye-opening. And this post basically throws the official spec sheets in the trash. It focuses entirely on actual daily workflows, breaking down tools like Nano Banana Pro with real messy production context.
That dichotomy right there between the pristine spec sheet and the messy workflow is the single most important concept to grasp when you are evaluating video tools today.
Wait, I have to stop you there.
Okay.
Because at PC Mag, a massive tech publication with standardized testing, mathematically proves that Tool A gives me crystal clear, stunning 8K resolution.
Right.
And this solo creator on Reddit is saying they prefer Nano Banana Pro, which is spitting out 1080p. Why on earth would I sabotage my own agency's project by choosing the lower quality tool? Are the spec sheets just lying to us?
This raises an important question about how we fundamentally measure the utility of software.
Okay, I'm listening.
The spec sheets aren't lying, but they are answering the wrong question. A tool might have the highest raw resolution on paper, which is exactly what a benchmark review like PCMag is designed to measure.
It renders gorgeous 8K pixels.
Exactly. But what that solo creator on Reddit is pointing out is what actually happens when you try to integrate that 8K tool into an editing timeline on a Tuesday afternoon when a client is demanding changes.
You mean it breaks the pipeline?
Exactly. Let's say Tool A has incredible resolution, but it doesn't allow for specific keyframe control over camera movement.
Oh, that's a problem.
Or its temporal consistency is so rigid that you can't smoothly transition between two different actions. Or, crucially, exporting a single 3-second revision takes 6 hours of compute time.
Yeah, you can't work like that.
Suddenly, that beautiful 8K resolution is entirely worthless because the tool is actively preventing you from finishing the project.
Right.
The Reddit post praises tools based on how they handle revisions, how easily they integrate with traditional software like Premiere or Resolve, and how well you can pace a shot. Those are the mechanics that actually matter when you are trying to tell a narrative story or deliver a commercial on a strict deadline. Specs do not equal workflow.
It's like evaluating a car.
How so?
Well, PC Mag is testing the top speed of a Formula One race car on a closed track. Yes, it goes 200 miles an hour. It wins the benchmark.
Okay, I follow.
But The Reddit creator is reminding you that you need a vehicle for a daily commute in stop-and-go traffic.
Right.
That F1 car is going to be a miserable, overheated nightmare on a Tuesday morning. You want the reliable commuter car that actually has air conditioning and a radio, even if its top speed is only 80 miles an hour.
That is exactly it. When you are evaluating video tools, especially considering how astronomically expensive the compute time is for video generation compared to static images,
it's so expensive.
You cannot afford to buy the F1 car if you need a commuter. You have to evaluate the software based on how it handles the iterative back and forth reality of actual production.
And I think that brings us full circle on this entire journey we've taken through the newsletter today.
It really does.
We started by looking at the instant polish of Midjourney, where you deliberately trade control for speed to get those beautiful mood boards out the door.
Right.
Then we stepped into the deep, complex commercial kitchen of SDXL and open source models, realizing that true creative control requires getting your hands dirty with CFG scales and custom tensor.art Lorai training.
And we then explored how the community is actively solving the overwhelming technical friction of those open models by instantly sharing complex workflows using CompuWi's brilliant metadata extraction.
Right, the instant Lego castle trick.
Exactly.
And finally, we explored the incredibly demanding frontier of AI video, learning that when you're evaluating heavy-duty tools, you have to prioritize actual production realities like keyframing and iteration speed over shiny spec sheets and raw resolution benchmarks.
Yeah.
So why does all of this matter to you listening right now? Whether you are a studio head onboarding a massive new creative team, a freelancer advising local clients, or just an independent artist trying to manage your own cloud compute costs, the key to surviving the 2026 AI landscape is matching the tool's specific mechanism to your exact workload.
It's all about finding the right fit.
Exactly. Stop buying tools just because they're currently trending on a leaderboard and start investing in the ones that specifically solve your daily bottlenecks. You have to know what aisle of the hardware store you actually belong in.
It is entirely about intent. The underlying technology is powerful enough now that the limiting factor is no longer the AI's capability.
That's a great point.
It's the creator's clarity of purpose.
Absolutely. But before we wrap up, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over.
Oh, lay it on me.
Something that's been kind of gnawing at me as we went through these sources. We've talked a lot today about how these advanced tools, specifically the open source ones, give creators the ultimate ability to precisely match their specific vision.
Right.
To get exactly what is in their head onto the screen. But, and hear me out, if platforms like Comfy UI allow you to literally drag and drop a PNG image and instantly copy another artist's entire technical node graph pipeline.
Every single setting.
Exactly. Every single mathematical weight, every custom route, every secret sauce they spent months figuring out. What does original style even mean anymore?
Oh, wow. That is a heavy question.
If the complex, grueling creative process itself, the years of technical trial and error to achieve a specific aesthetic, is now just a piece of copy-pastable metadata, where does an artist's true signature live in the year 2026?
That really makes you think.
Think about that next time you are wandering through the unlabeled aisles of this massive AI tool landscape. Keep exploring, keep questioning those spec sheets, and we'll see you on the next deep dive.